You're listening to Live from Lord North Street, a podcast from the Institute of Economic Affairs. The question of whether Britain should stay in the EU's customs union has dominated the news cycle recently, with the CBI and other high-profile voices suggesting that remaining in the customs union would be consistent with Britain's vote to leave the EU. But would this be a political possibility, and would it be wise? Today I'm joined by Julian Jessop, the IEA's chief economist and head of the Brexit unit, to give us an update on these developments. Julian explains what the customs union is and explores some of the pros and cons of staying in it. Finally, he looks at some of the alternative possibilities to our current arrangement. If you like what you hear, subscribe to our iTunes channel, IEA Conversations. Julian, in recent weeks, the CBI and others have called for Britain to remain in the customs union after Brexit. But what exactly is the EU's customs union?
Well, a customs union is a special form of trade deal where countries agree to remove tariffs on trade between themselves, but also to impose a common external tariff on imports from the rest of the world. This policy allows goods to move freely within the union without the need for additional customs checks. But it does usually mean that members of a customs union can't make their own trade deals with other countries. Indeed, the European Union makes this explicit via something called the Common Commercial Policy, which makes external trade an exclusive responsibility of the European Union itself, which then negotiates on behalf of its member states.
So how exactly does this differ from the single market?
Well, it's important to understand that a customs union and the single market are not the same thing. And in Norway, for example, is a member of the single market, but it isn't a member of the customs union. In contrast, Turkey is a member of a limited customs union with the European Union, but not the single market. So it's possible to be a member of one or the other, or both or neither. The common element is that membership of either the single market or the customs union essentially eliminates tariffs on trade within the area. But membership of the single market also brings a large number of additional rights and obligations. So, for example, free movement of people and rigid standards and regulations that apply to the whole economy. Members of a single market are also, in this case, expected to contribute to the EU budget. This might make membership of the customs union seem like a more attractive alternative. But the disadvantage is that if the UK remains a member of the customs union, it will give up one of the biggest potential benefits of Brexit, because we'd have to continue to outsource trade policy to the EU.
Not having to contribute annually to the EU budget or abide by these rules on free movement would seem to be two pretty big sticking points for many Brexiteers. Could it be said that staying in the customs union would be a political possibility?
Well, it does have some obvious advantages. I mean, to the extent that people voted for Brexit in order to deregulate the economy or to end free movement of people, then leaving the single market but remaining within the customs union would be consistent with that. And, you know, it would allow us to keep zero tariffs between us and the rest of the European Union. And it would minimise or completely eliminate the risk of any additional customs checks over and above what we have now. So politically, it might look more attractive, but essentially, I don't think it's necessary. I think we can achieve those benefits in other ways. And remaining in the customs union would mean that we give up the right to go for one of the big prizes of Brexit, which is to get better trade deals than we would otherwise have done with the rest of the world.
So can you tell me a little bit more about the CBI, who are obviously arguing that we stay in the customs union? Who exactly do they represent? And do you feel that their views are an accurate representation of business at large?
Well, the CBI is obviously a very large business organisation. Its membership is open to very large companies, but also very small ones. It is, however, dominated by the medium and larger companies. If you look at smaller companies, they tend to be a bit more favourable towards Brexit. That's partly because, you know, smaller companies tend to be those that trade within the UK economy rather than outside. So, you know, they're less concerned about the potential risk to trade with the rest of the European Union. There might also be companies that are more challenged by the sorts of regulations that the EU imposes. If you're a bigger company, it's fairly easy to deal with that burden of red tape. It's rather harder for a small company. So the fact that the CBI is perhaps dominated by medium to large companies does perhaps make it a bit more favourable towards the EU than smaller companies. The other important point, of course, is that the CBI, like most business organisations, is dominated by those companies that are doing pretty well under the existing system. You know, that they're probably quite happy to back a sort of low risk policy that involves continuing with the status quo. They're not necessarily representative of the smaller, more entrepreneurial companies that might be more willing to take risks to exploit the opportunities that the change that Brexit would bring, and therefore might be, you know, a bit more radical, a bit more dynamic than companies that are doing fine as they are.
So almost by definition, the CBI is in favour of the status quo.
That's absolutely right. Now, that's not necessarily a criticism, of course. I mean, if you believe the status quo is good, then protecting it is very important. But, of course, the majority of people voted in the referendum with the view that the status quo isn't good and they want things to change.
Do you think that it would be possible to reach some kind of halfway house deal where we retain some aspects of customs union without making a clean break altogether?
Yes, I think it's important to recognise the potential for compromises here. I mean, the approach to this over the last year or so, particularly from many parts of the media, but also bureaucrats both here and in Europe, is to assume that you have to adopt an existing model. So, for example, it's assumed that the best deal that the UK can get in trade would be the deal that Canada has, and that this would exclude, for example, financial services. But I think that doesn't recognise the unique position that the UK is in, of being, you know, a country that's already has a very convergent economy with the rest of Europe, including pretty much the same regulations, of course, as a member of the EU, and also one that geographically is far closer than Canada is, and far more important trading partner. So I think there is plenty of scope for a bespoke trade deal. And if you do get a bespoke trade deal, then I think many of the concerns about remaining in the customs union or the single market fall away. We're able to achieve relatively frictionless trade with minimal tariff and non-tariff barriers, then remaining in either the single market or the customs union becomes less important. And as far as the customs union itself is concerned, we don't necessarily need to remain a member of the customs union. That's a capital C and a capital U there. In other words, continuing with the current arrangement, we might be able to develop something new, a customs union, lowercase c, lowercase u. And this indeed is what the British government has proposed, some form of highly streamlined customs arrangement where we do have customs controls, but these are absolutely the bare minimum, or some form of new customs partnership where the UK would mirror the EU's requirements for imports from the rest of the world, so that we wouldn't actually need a big increase in customs controls between us and the European Union itself. Now, that does raise all sorts of questions, including, you know, what sort of technology would you need to be able to do that effectively. But we still have a number of years left to work that out, particularly if we have the two-year transition period that the British government, I think, is quite rightly arguing for.
And what would remaining in the customs union, what would that do for the question of the Irish border?
Well, at face value, it would solve a big part of it, because clearly there'd be no need for customs checks at the border if you had a customs union, because you had basically the same tariff policy anyway. It wouldn't, though, completely do away with those sorts of controls, because if you had regulatory divergence, then you might still be worried about the standard of goods that are being moved across the border, even if you're not worried about the tariffs that are being paid on them. But I don't think a customs union is the only solution to the Irish border problem. I mean, a lot could be done depending on the nature of the future trade deal that the UK would have with the rest of the European Union. There are lots of potential technical solutions that would avoid the need for a hard border. For example, electronic checks away from the border itself. So you wouldn't need the sort of physical infrastructure that I think everybody wants to avoid. But also, I think you have to be pragmatic about this. I mean, suppose there were a small increase in smuggling between the north and the south of Ireland. Would that amount of trade really be big enough to threaten the integrity of the whole European Union? And after all, the EU does have borders with non-EU countries, not all of which has a sort of Trump-style Mexican wall protecting them. I think you have to be realistic about, you know, how much trade would take place that perhaps bent the EU rules, and how big a threat that would be. I think if the political will is there, then, you know, the problems that are raised by the Irish border can be dealt without the need for the UK to remain a member of the single market or the customs union.
Going back to this question of, you know, other precedents for a customs union arrangement, proponents of staying in the customs union would argue that the gains of getting this free hand to negotiate trade deals with third countries do not currently outweigh the downsides of making trade more difficult with the EU. The EU is, after all, still Britain's biggest trading partner. Do they have a point here? And what would be wrong with having a temporary customs union membership, or maybe just postponing a rethink for a few years?
Well, I think the people arguing that we must remain within the customs union are being too pessimistic on at least one and maybe two counts. The first is that they tend to assume it's not possible for the UK and the EU to negotiate a new deal that would largely replicate the benefits of membership of the single market or the customs union. But frankly, it seems far too early to jump to this conclusion before talks have even begun. If we think, for example, about the Canada deal as a starting point, actually, I think the UK can do a lot better than that, given its greater importance as a trading partner for the rest of the EU than Canada ever will be. The second assumption of those who want us to remain in the customs union seems to be that the UK won't be able to strike better trade deals with the rest of the world than the EU has signed or is likely to be able to do in the future. I think, again, we don't yet know. The EU has negotiated trade deals with the rest of the world, but it takes ages for them to do so. They're usually quite limited. I mean, it's ironic that people often point to the Canada trade deal as an example here. I mean, the Canada trade deal is not bad, but it isn't as comprehensive as the sort of deal that the UK should be able to get. It is true that the EU at the moment is by far our biggest single trading partner, probably remains so for quite some time. But that's partly, of course, because we have a trade deal with the EU and not with other parts of the world. Also, over time, the rest of the world, particularly emerging markets, will be growing much more rapidly than the EU itself.
Yeah, and it has already started to decline in the last 10 years, hasn't it? From over 50% to under 50% now.
Exactly. If I use a specific example, and this is one that the CBI itself pointed out, at the moment, the 11 countries that are participants in the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is a nascent free trade agreement between countries in and around the Pacific, only account for 7% of our trade, whereas Germany alone accounts for 11%. But that 7% figure for the Trans-Pacific Partnership countries, for a start, that's partly only as low as it is now because we don't have a trade deal with them. So, you know, if we did more trade with them, that figure would be higher than 7%. But also, of course, that 7% is likely to grow over time because these include some of the world's fastest growing economies. And, you know, the Trans-Pacific Partnership was widened to include other big, fast growing emerging economies, then it will be a much, much more attractive place to anchor yourself than the European Union.
But the CBI and others haven't ruled this out exactly. They haven't ruled out changing the arrangement in the future if the economic tide were to shift. What would be the problem with having a temporary membership and maybe postponing in future?
Well, I think that's a slippery slope. I can see the case for a brief time-limited transition period, you know, perhaps of 2 years until we can work out a proper comprehensive free trade deal. But if at the end of that period we remained in the customs union for, say, another 5 years, another 10 years, the risk is that becomes permanent. I mean, you need to make a clean break. I think something needs to be materially different within a few years, or else arguably Brexit hasn't happened at all. And of course, the longer we remain a member of the key economic relationships of the European Union, the easier it might be for example, a future government to roll back on what was promised to the British people and which they ultimately did vote for in the referendum. So it's dangerous. You should have the shortest possible transition period and as clean a break as practical afterwards. Committing to remain in the customs union for an extended period after that, I think there is a risk that that becomes permanent and you don't ever get the benefits of leaving, including the benefits of being able to negotiate your own free trade deals.
Yes, a lot does seem to hinge on whether Britain can secure decent trade deals with countries. But given some of the protectionist noises we've been getting from America in the last few months, how likely is that looking? You know, it's only in the last few weeks that Trump has announced an America First deal on tariffs to protect domestic manufacturers.
Yes, I mean, at the moment, the signs don't look great. It's clear that the American administration under Trump is taking very much a what I call a mercantilist approach. In other words, that, you know, a trade deficit is a bad thing. The specific examples over the last week or so would be increased tariffs on South Korean washing machines and Chinese solar panels. That may well provide a bit of protection for some companies in the US, but only at the cost of reduced competition and higher prices for US consumers. So it's not clear to me that that's good even for the US. And it certainly doesn't augur particularly well for a US trade deal. As it happens, tariffs are unlikely to be the big sticking point in a future US-UK trade agreement. But this sort of attitude, I think, will make it harder to get the US to lower its non-tariff barriers. So it's clear that there is a lot of work to be done. But we're not going to be able to be rushing to do a trade deal over the next year or so anyway. In practice, all we can do is talk about the broad principles anyway until we've left, and probably until the end of the transition period. And it may well be that the US administration has a very different attitude in a few years' time. It may well be, of course, it's got a different president. So the bad news is that I don't think the US is exactly fully on board on the idea of free trade. The good news, though, is that these things can change. And below the very highest levels of the administration in the US, I think there's not a lot of doubt that many people are keen to do a free trade deal with the UK, given the special relationship that does genuinely exist in terms of economic and financial cooperation.
Julian, thank you. For more podcasts, blogs, reports and films, go to our website, iea.org.uk.